I want you to open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. But we're going to start with, for the next several weeks, talking about actually the teachings of Christ. You know, this man, capital M-A-N, capital man, that lives inside of us that we've invited into our hearts. Don't you think it's kind of important if you rent out or lease out your apartment to someone that you find out who that person is that's living inside that place, right? If you were to be a landlord, yeah, you kind of want to do a background check and find out who this person is. Well, listen, we've invited this man into our heart, haven't we? Jesus is living in our hearts, and I think it's so important that we don't necessarily go to Paul, who talks about Jesus, and Peter, who talks about Jesus, and John, who talks about Jesus, but we find out what actually Jesus says himself, because he's our Savior. He's our Lord, and he's the one that we've invited into our hearts. And so I want us to look for the next several weeks on what this Sermon on the Mount is all about. You've heard of the Sermon on the Mount? How many's ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah. And you ever heard of the Beatitudes? The Attitudes, yeah. There's eight of them on there that he lists. And it's the very first thing that he begins to speak on this Sermon on the Mount. You know, as this young man was talking about, in fact, this young man's name is Luke here on this video, and as he was talking about, you know, just when you think you've got it all figured out, then God comes in and kind of takes and kind of gives you the old, kind of comes out of left field sort of thing. He talks to you about things, and he says, listen, I need you to look at your pride, for example, in this case with Luke. He's saying, you know, you may be talented, and you may be on a missions trip, and you may be all these things, but there's some pride that I want you to deal with. It's more important than your talent, more important than your missions trip or anything else in your life. It's what's going on inside of your heart that I want you to work on. So I want us to look at several things this morning in this one verse, really, this one really just sentence. Jesus starts off by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, just when you think brokenness and humility and dependence are that you got this all worked out and you're really broken before the Lord, you're humble before mankind, and you're really dependent upon God, just when you think you got it figured out, you really don't have it figured out. There was a story of a pastor who was actually resigning. It was on his Sunday that he was resigning. He was announcing to the congregation, today is my last Sunday, and I'm going to be moving on. And one of the charter members of the church came up after at the end of the service, just crying, and she was so upset. She said, Pastor, I hate to see you go. I don't want to see you go. And I just really, you know, want to make sure, I just want you to stay here. Don't go, please. Of course, that built him up a little bit. She really likes me. You know, I'm sure he was thinking. And he says to her sister, Jones, listen, I'm confident that the Lord, if you'll pray, that the Lord will bring someone else better to fill my pulpit. She said, Pastor, I've done that the last three times, and they just keep getting worse. Yeah. Built them up just to tear them down. You know, isn't that awful? It's like, okay. Kind of reminds me of another story. There's actually a pilot flying an airplane, a commercial airplane loaded with passengers, and it was a rough flight. It was bumpy, pretty treacherous, and you know, storms and all that. And it kind of culminated with a really rough landing. And the policy of the airline company was that the pilot needed to stand out from the cockpit and greet everyone as they left. And so he was a little concerned about that. He thought, well, surely I'm going to get some comments here from people as they leave about how awful the flight was. But nobody said anything. He was pretty surprised and pleased until finally, right at the end, one of the elderly ladies who took her time getting off came up and asked the pilot. She said, that was a pretty rough flight there. And he said, yes, ma'am. She says, I just need to ask you one thing. Did we get shot down, or did we just have a rough landing? Yeah, so she thought maybe they were shot down. It's just when you think that people, you think you got this thing, you know, I'm a good pilot, I'm a good pastor, I'm a good whatever, you're always going to have someone there to take care of how to kind of set you straight, actually. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of brokenness, and it's covered up by the proverbial makeup. Some of the ladies that are in here today, and hopefully maybe not some of the men, but at least some of the ladies are wearing makeup here today. And you know, when we wear makeup, I know what it does. Ladies, you don't need it, but I know what's going on. You're trying to cover it, smooth up the rough spots and the blemishes and all. It just kind of covers up these little bit of flaws on your face, you know? That's what makeup does. It makes you feel better, look better in whatever ways. But there's also a lot of makeup that's going on in our hearts, because what we do is we boast about accomplishments and we boast about our greatness, when in fact what we're doing is we're saying, hey, look over there at this great thing that I am, or this great thing that I've done, but it's really only a diversion from the brokenness that we have inside of us that we don't want anyone to see. There's a brokenness in mankind. There's also humility. You think about it, it's really not celebrated in our society. It's not celebrated in the world. It's, in fact, it's viewed as weak. If you're out there in the world today, it's a dog-eat-dog out there. And there's a lot of arrogance. There's a lot of pride. It's really rampant in our world today. I'm sure you experience it on social media, places at work, and in your schools. And rest assured, just like this pastor and this pilot, there's always going to be someone to put us in our place. But then we add to that Jesus' teachings to live out a life on a daily basis of total dependence upon God in the real world, where there's so many things luring us to depend upon them, and we face a headwind that seems insurmountable. So we ask the question, why even try when it's so much easier to go with the flow? But this is exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, when he was talking about on the Sermon on the Mount, these eight statements called the Beatitudes, all beginning with blessed are, and all are upside down to what this world celebrates. Yet all eight, if lived out, are a life filled with God's promises of blessing and favor and victory. How many would like to live a life of God's blessings, God's favor, and God's victory? This is an upside down kingdom that he's talking about, and that's what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks. Is the upside-down kingdom of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:3, as I said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there's three parts, actually, to this being in poor in spirit that I'd like for us to look at today. If you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, I want you to write these three down, but leave some space in between them. The first one is inwardly broken. The second one is outwardly humble. And the third one is upwardly dependent. I'll say those again. The first one is inwardly broken. The second one is outwardly humble, and the third one is upwardly dependent. Matthew 4:23 says that Jesus went throughout Galilee and he was preaching the good news of the kingdom. That was why he was here, to preach the good news and to do the work that he needed to do to be to take our place and die for our sins. And if you look at Matthew 4:17, the very first recorded word that Jesus said when he was teaching and preaching in Matthew 4:17 was the word repent. That's the very first word that came out of his mouth as he was publicly teaching, was repent. What does repent mean? Well, it means to turn away from how you've been thinking, how you've been talking, how you've been living, and to go completely opposite direction. And that's what Jesus preached continually. He preached repentance and the kingdom of God. You know, for Jesus to begin his sermon to the crowd, his Sermon on the Mount, by starting with being inwardly broken and outwardly humble and upwardly dependent upon God is key. Because what he was saying was this: how you've been living isn't going to cut it anymore. Don't be proud or self-sufficient. Repent. Be broken. Walk humbly towards others. Place your complete dependence upon God. You see, this is your initial entry into my kingdom. You can't come into my kingdom unless you repent of your arrogant ways, of your pride and self-sufficiency. You can't enter into my kingdom if you walk around if you're not humble towards others. You can't enter into my kingdom if you're not completely dependent upon God. Without these things, you'll fail at everything else that I'm going to teach you. You must be poor in spirit. So how can we know that we're embracing Jesus' teaching to be poor in spirit? Here's the first one. First, the poor in spirit are inwardly broken. If you look back in Psalms, chapter 51, verse 17, you know the story of King David. King David cried out to God after Nathan the prophet confronted him with adultery and murder. King David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And Psalm 51 records a prayer that King David cried out to God, and he says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, verse 17 says, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. You see, what David was saying, what David understood was, if he came into God's presence arrogantly, if he came into his presence pridefully, if he came to into God's presence with excuses or with anything else to offer but a broken, bankrupt heart, then God would not receive him. He said instead, if I have a broken and contrite heart, if I have a bankrupt heart, God, you'll not only not despise me, you'll embrace me and you'll receive me into your own. You see, David's spirit was broken. He was completely bankrupt before God. You know, Jesus actually saw this propensity in mankind. And in Luke chapter 18, he records a parable where he confronts pride head on. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, if you will write those notes, write those down on your notes, the scripture will be up on the screen. He says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like these robbers, these evildoers, these adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast in despair and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And all those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know, the Pharisee, if you look at what he was saying, he actually had an I problem. I am not like him. I fast twice a week. I tithe. I. He neither had a broken nor a contrite heart that David was speaking about in Psalm chapter 51. The tax collector, on the other hand, though, and by the way, the tax collector was the lowest of the low of that particular society. They were looked at as the lowest of the low in that particular time. And the Pharisees were looked upon as the highest of the high, or at least they acted that way. So here's the tax collector who was despised upon all among all men. And he cried out in despair, and he cried out in brokenness. He cried out in a bankrupt heart, and he cried out for his sins, and he asked God for mercy. That's all he had to offer was, God, give me your mercy. He approached God completely bankrupt. You see, humility says, I am a sinner who is spiritually bankrupt and have no righteousness other than who I am in Christ. If we ever come to God's presence and say to him, hey, God, boy, are you lucky that I'm here. Look what I have to offer your kingdom. Look at my talents. Look at my possessions. Look at my looks. Look at my popularity. Look at me. I. He will reject you. Folks, I've got to tell you this. There's nothing that you have to offer him that will make him any greater, that will make him any more effective, that will make him any more powerful or anything else. He is altogether complete. And all we have to offer him is our hearts. And if we ever approach him in any other way, he will reject us. He will despise us. He will turn us away. He will not acknowledge us. But if we come to him with a broken and contrite spirit, spiritually bankrupt. You know what bankrupt means? You don't have a penny to your name. You don't have two nickels to rub together, as they say. Proper Christ-like humility, being poor in spirit, realizes our spiritual bankruptcy and makes us completely remorseful as we realize our inward brokenness and our failure to live up to God's holy standards and look to God for his mercy through salvation in Jesus Christ. Second, the poor in spirit are outwardly humble. So there's this inward bankruptcy, this inward brokenness that we have to deal with. But then we also need to deal with this outward humility. You see, the Pharisee compared himself to the robbers, to the evildoers, to the adulterers, and to that tax collector. And he self-proclaimed himself better than them. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance, and he couldn't even look up when he prayed. You see, prideful people, what they do is they focus on others' faults and shortcomings rather than their own. Prideful people, they justify their actions, their thoughts, their words, and arrogantly comparing themselves to others, deem themselves as better than others. They act out prejudiciously towards others because of how they look, of their occupation or maybe where they live, or you fill in the blank. There's no humility in that way of living, and God will have none of it in his kingdom. Jesus points this out later in Matthew chapter 7 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. When he says this, he says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I want to ask you this morning, if you tend to judge somebody and you tend to be outwardly arrogant instead of outwardly humble, let me ask you a question here. Let's see. Jonathan, come up here for a second, would you? I need you to hold this up. I only have two hands and I have three items, so hold this up. If that were how you judge people, or that would be how you judge people, the Bible says you're going to get back in the very measure that you judge people get back to you. So let me ask you this. Hold that up. Would you rather have it measured back to you? Hold it up high like Mufasa, way up high. Would you rather have someone measure, would you rather have someone judge you back to that measure or to that measure? Such an easy answer. But I wanted to give you a visual on this because you see what often that we do, we judge people that way, but we want to be judged back that way because we justify ourselves. Oh, God understands. Someone, so-and-so understands. But, oh, now that person, they ought to know better and shame on them and da-da-da-da-da, we judge. But God, give me mercy. We hand out judgment. We want to receive mercy. But the Bible says, and Jesus said very clearly, if that's the measure that you judge, then that's the measure that you're going to get back. And I don't know about you. I don't even want this much. I want like a thimble or even less, like a little pin top, you know, pinpoint, just a little dot. I don't even want anything, actually. But this is about as small as I could get without you not being able to see it. Jonathan, thank you. Give Jonathan a God bless you. You know, we so often judge people, and I think that we need to be careful because Christ-like humility is the absence of spiritual pride. It's not the diminishing of it, it's actually the absence of it. Christ-like humility. Because pride compares ourselves to others and says how much better we are than them, like the Pharisee did. But Christ-like humility compares ourselves to God and recognizes how far we fall short. If we'll just compare ourselves to God and hold that measure up to say, wait a minute, I don't measure up at all. So who am I to say that I'm better than anybody else? I'm not, you're not, we're just absolutely not. The Bible says that we're all sinners, saved by grace. We aren't to judge, but rather to walk with Christ-like love and humility towards one another, outwardly. We're all equal at the foot of the cross, amen? We're all equal at the foot of the cross, amen? God help us. Third, the poor in spirit are upwardly dependent. The Pharisee had quite a list of things that in his mind made him great and holy and superior to others. He counted his works as a basis for his acceptance by God. Yet the Bible says he went away not justified before God. The tax collector, on the other hand, put his complete trust in God and depended only on him for salvation. And the Bible says he was justified before God. You see, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says that we are not saved by our works, but we're saved by God's grace, lest any man should boast, he says. Oh, that we would rely more on God than ourselves. You see, the children of Israel left Egypt with a massive amount of worldly riches, and yet they would have only lasted a few days in the wilderness without God supplying manna and quail and water over the 40 years. All the riches in the world will not get you to heaven. All the talent, all the looks, all the stuff, all your work will not earn you salvation. There's nothing about you or I that will help us be a better us than what Christ has already done and is doing in us. What God has, he offers daily to fill our spiritual needs. The Bible says, Philippians 4:19, that he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everything that we need is found in Christ. Everything that we need, I want you to say this with me, say, everything that I need is found in Christ. Say it again, everything that I need is found in Christ. And he's living in you. So everything that you need is in you because Christ is in you. And there's nothing that you can offer him that will make him any better than how he already is. So then how do we do this? Jesus is telling us today that in order to live a life that's blessed by God and to even have entrance into his kingdom, we must inwardly be broken and bankrupt before God. We must be outwardly humble towards others, and we must have a total upward dependence upon God for everything in this world. And that's not easy. You know, folks, I ask myself, how often am I bankrupt before God? How often am I inwardly broken? Do I look at myself as spiritually bankrupt apart from the righteousness of Christ? There's been many times that I've been this way, but am I consistently that way? Is that my heart default mode of living? And if I'm honest with myself, the answer would be no. But you know what? You know what I do when I think I have anything to offer Christ other than my heart? I repent, and God is quick to forgive me. You know, the Holy Spirit at times has corrected me when I judge myself as somehow better than others, more righteous, more whatever, than someone else when I'm less than outwardly humble towards my fellow man. Folks, there's just no place for that sort of arrogance or pride in my heart, and I know it. And yet it still rears its ugly head occasionally. And you know what I do when I've allowed pride to enter into my heart? I repent. I do like King David did when he prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord." And you know what he does? Every single time, he forgives me. My desire is to be outwardly humble towards others as Christ was and as Christ is. And you know what? There's been many times over my life that I've been at a place where if Jesus didn't come through, I would have just failed completely. He's been over the years of my life, my provision, time and time again, in every area of my life. I am upwardly dependent upon God and couldn't preach, I couldn't think, I couldn't live, I couldn't breathe without him. I'm well aware that without him, I would be nothing. You see, to embrace humility is to embrace growing in Christ, who is the epitome of humility. It's opposite of the world's way, which means it has to be right. You know, the voices of the world's ways says this. Appetite says, be sensuous and enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Psychology says, be confident and fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. But God says, be wise and humble yourself. You see, 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in his time. This is the upside down kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus launched it out with this truth in direct opposition to what the world's system promotes and celebrates. You know, it just doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, really, how can we be inwardly broken, outwardly humble before man, and upwardly dependent upon God in a world that promotes and praises the opposite? You know, you may be asking this morning, won't it be a battle trying to defeat my pride and my self-sufficiency? Yes, it will. But God says in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is greater. You might be asking, won't I be looked at as strange? Well, probably. But 1 Corinthians 1:27 says that God has always used the things of the world that the world labels foolish to confound the wise and the weak things to confound the mighty. So we're headed down the right path. You might be asking, well, what if I mess up? Well, and you will. It's going to be a journey of being more Christ-like. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to have successes and you're going to have failures. But 2 Corinthians 12:9 says that God's grace will be sufficient for you. Because his power is being made perfect in your weakness. Being made means it's a process. We learn to boast in our weakness so that Christ's power can work in us all the more, it says. Amen? Well, you may be saying, well, I like feeling superior and self-sufficient. I kind of like the way I am. Well, Luke 18:29 promises that if you give up those things for the sake of the kingdom, you will be rewarded many times in this life as well as in eternity. So let me encourage you and challenge you this morning to crucify your flesh daily at the cross of Calvary. Crucify your pride daily. So here's my questions to you is, do you want to feel superior or do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be praised by man or celebrated by your heavenly Father? Do you want to have to pick yourself back up when you falter, or would you like to know that Jesus is there to pick you up every time you stumble? Do you want to fight this battle of pride on your own, or do you want Jesus to fight it for you? Be willing to be inwardly broken before God, outwardly humble towards others, and upwardly dependent upon God in this real world. Then God's kingdom and all that is in it will be yours. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what's in God's kingdom? A few things. A handful of stuff. Just enough to get by. And it's limited. None of that's true. What's in God's kingdom? All you need to live a life of victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what's in God's kingdom. All that you need for victory in Jesus. And this is all part of knowing Christ as Savior. It's all part of growing in Him as Lord. It's all part of going for Him as His hands and His feet extended to a proud and misguided world. So I ask you this question as we all stand this morning. Would you all stand with me this morning as I close? Linda, could you go to the piano? I want to ask you this question this morning. What does being more inwardly broken, more outwardly humble, and upwardly more dependent on God, what does it look like in your life this week? This upside-down kingdom of God that we're talking about, what does that look like? Close your eyes, bow your heads. I want to ask you this question again. I want you to think about it, because there's three different directions here. Inwardly broken. Have you looked at yourself, to be honest with yourself, and say that I am actually spiritually bankrupt without Christ? Have you ever thought about that? If not, think about it for just a moment. Spiritually bankrupt without Christ. Coming to Him in your times of prayer, in your times of devotion, in your times of reading His Word, coming to Him completely broken and contrite, completely spiritually bankrupt, with nothing to offer, but just to say, here I am, have mercy on me. God, help us now, we repent of coming before You with anything other than spiritual bankruptcy and complete brokenness. Help us. Let me ask you another question. What more can you do to be more outwardly humble? Because that's really where the rubber meets the road, with people that you know and people that you don't know, the interactions that you have throughout the week with people. How can you be more Christ-like in the humility of considering others better than yourself? To be humble, to exercise humility, to not compare yourself to others and measure yourself to be great, but to compare yourself to God and realize that we all fall far. We all fall short of the glory of God. God, help us to walk in humility towards mankind, towards our brothers and sisters, towards those of a different station in life, whatever that looks like. Lord, that we wouldn't be like the Pharisee who compared himself to the tax collectors and to the adulterers and to the murderers and the evildoers. God, we're all sinners saved by grace. Help us to walk humbly before man, towards our brothers and sisters, towards those that You died for. Help us to see them as You see them, Jesus. Help us to see them as souls that need rescue. God, forgive us for our arrogant pride toward mankind. God, if we've not approached You completely dependent, upwardly dependent, my talents, my abilities, my possessions, my heritage, my nationality, my work for You, my anything is nothing. It doesn't make You any more glorious, any more powerful, any more holy. Father, forgive us for approaching a relationship with You as it's some sort of credit and deficit thing, where the more we do for you, the better off we are. Father, help us to realize that we're just all equally at the foot of the cross before you, totally dependent upon you for our food, for our air that we breathe, for our roof over our head, for our money that we make, for everything, Lord Jesus. Help us to be totally dependent upon you. Father, we repent of our self-dependency. May we be totally dependent upon you. Show us what that looks like. Show us what that looks like, Lord, to be inwardly, more inwardly broken, more outwardly humble, and more upwardly dependent on you this week. Holy Spirit, thank you for drawing us in a deeper way, in a richer way, in a more complete way, to relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Jesus, show us what it looks like to be humble. You modeled it for us in your word. You taught it to us. Now, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, help us to walk it out. With every eye closed and head bowed as we close this time together, and God's presence is here in this place, oh, the worship has been wonderful. And this word is important for us because it's the entry into the kingdom. It's the first thing. It's the first step. If we don't have this, if we don't get this, if we don't understand this, if we don't try to walk this out, then all the rest of it's really not going to work. Jesus, we thank you for doing this in the right order, showing us that we need to be poor in spirit, because then the kingdom of heaven's going to be ours. But if there's anybody in this place that's, you don't even have Jesus in your heart, and you've looked around at this thing today and you've seen people carry on, there's been something going on in the worship that you thought, well, I'm not sure I've never experienced that before, but it felt right. There's something real about this. And then you listen to this word that Jesus taught us this morning, that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, saying, you know what? I am prideful. I need to repent. I need to give Jesus my heart. I need to walk humbly before man. I need to be dependent upon God. I need to be inwardly broken, not be so prideful and arrogant. I need that. I need what you're talking about. I need what Jesus is saying, that I can live a blessed life if I do that. Lord, I thank you that we all want to live a blessed life, but the first step is to invite you into our hearts so that you can work those things in us. So with every eye closed and head bowed, I want to invite you to accept Christ into your life by simply lifting up your hand and saying, Pastor Brian, pray for me. I see three hands. I see four hands. I see five. I see six. I see six hands. Entire families, yes. Seven hands. The entry into God's kingdom. Say, Jesus, I just need more of you. Okay, whether you raised your hand or not, with every eye closed and head bowed, I want you to pray this prayer. The Bible says you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son and you will be saved. It's that easy. You have nothing to offer him but this broken, bankrupt heart, and he takes it and does something beautiful with it. Are you ready? Whether you raised your hand or not, I want us to all pray this prayer out loud. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt, and I need you to fill me with who you are. Forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart. Be Lord of my life. And I thank you for working in me humility and taking away my pride and my arrogance. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me for thinking that I'm great when you're great in me. I thank you, Jesus, now that I'm saved. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might be like Christ. Everything that I say and everything that I do and in everything that I think. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.